Welcome back, everybody, to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember that time way back when we thought that song lyrics would make us all do nasty things? The Parents Music Resource Center was an American committee formed in 1985 with a stated goal of increasing parental control over the access of children to music that could be deemed to be like, you know, have like violent lyrics or be drug related, sexual themes. And they wanted to do this with labeling the albums with a parental advisory sticker. On this week's Ludini Rock and Roll podcast, in the tradition of the seven words you can't say on TV, we will discuss the filthy 15 songs that triggered the PMRC.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
Everybody out there in Radio Land, it's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. And no, we're not going to sing. We should do that.
Hell no.
A whole show where we have to sing the whole show. Oh, dude.
I don't sing.
I know. That's why it'd be so freaking awesome. You listen to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. Sitting next to me right here in the co-pilot's chair this evening is Lily V6.
Hola.
Host of Six the Licks.
Hot Licks with Lily Six. Close. So close.
Hot Licks with
on
Lily.
On Rock Rage Radio.
On Rock Rage Radio. And shout out to Rock Rage Radio for carrying the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus on its network. We do really appreciate it. Speaking of shout outs, we'll give a shout out to Wolf's Customs. You know, why in the world, you know, you're going to get your band together. You're going to, you know, maybe you're going to put everybody in a separate room or everybody's going to be in their own studio and you're going to do these live shows on the internet. Why in the world would you do it with the same boring looking guitar that the last 20 bands did it with? No. You are going to contact Wolf's Customs at wolfscustoms.online. Talk to our good buddy, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson, and say, hey, Chris, Ludini sent me, and he said you can make my guitar look insanely cool. Not just guitars, by the way. Drums, your bass, you know, any musical instrument, what you're going to perform with, get a hold of wolfscustoms.online. Check them out. They do hollow flash. They do all kind of cool stuff that can really make your Strat, your Telecaster, whatever you're playing, really stick out and stand out and, you know, just make the performance something a little bit more special for the fans. Check them out at wolfscustoms.online. So tonight we are going to be discussing the Filthy 15. And we're shy one band member this evening. So we're going to probably play a song and maybe send a text message and see what's going on, if there's a technical difficulties or something. We're getting into it tonight. I have a bunch of different bands that we're going to play. This is a band that emailed me and said, we'd like to be on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. And I said, you know what? Okay. Since you asked nicely, this is a band called Yard of Blondes. Not Yard of Bones, Yard of Blondes.
Interesting.
Interesting, right? Murderology on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Ugly, he gives no love.
All right, that is a band called Yard of Blondes. And where can we find out some more about Yard of Blondes? Yard of Blondes at yardofblondes.com. Check them out. The album is Live From Home. It is available on Spotify, and that's exactly what the title is. They all recorded their individual parts in their individual studios and filmed it. So there's a...
Yeah.
It was a lot like a live concert, and then they mixed it all down and put out a record. So good for those guys. And they got that out quick.
It sounds good, too.
Yeah, it's already on Spotify and everything. So you guys have produced music pretty quick, dude, and that's the name of the game. So we're talking about producing, in terms of producing. We're going to be talking about the music that came out. Not the music that came out, but music that was going on in the 80s that caused this giant controversy. There were 15 songs that were presented as, you know, kind of like the really bad ones that were really going to cause everybody all kind of trouble.
Yeah, these are the ones they took to the hearing to fight their cause.
And
which a lot of them are just like, why?
Well, especially now, you know, so much has happened. You know, if somebody had gone into a coma, you know, like the year after this and then woke up now, you know, you'd be like, you know, yes, the Twin Towers are gone. We've been in two wars. We've had a black president. Bill Cosby's in jail. nobody rents VHS tapes anymore. You know.
Well, everybody's going back to the drive-in, so that's a thing. that would not be different.
You'd wake. You got like, what? So these songs probably, considering a lot of, I mean, all the crazy stuff that has happened in entertainment in the interim, like, you know, all the sort of like twerking. Remember when twerking and everybody's like, oh, that's so dirty.
And, yeah.
You know, that was the whole thing, you know. So all kinds of things have happened in entertainment. We saw Janet Jackson's boob, you know, all kind of stuff. So I think that, like, when we look back on these songs,
it's like, what?
Yeah, we're very kind of like, well, really?
Why?
And I think that there's a lesson to be learned there that, like, what has people all in an uproar about, you know, whatever they think is causing problems in society or whatever, you give it a few years, you'll be on to something else, and you'll be looking back at that and you're like, yeah, maybe people are upset about that. It doesn't make any sense. So just keep that in mind as we go through our discussion today. So let's go ahead and let's get some background. Lily, do you want to kind of tell the story there of what this is all about?
Well, you did explain what the PMRC was, but it was a committee founded by four women known as the Washington Wives, a reference to their husband's connections with government in the D.C. area, headed by Miss Tipper Gore herself, obviously wife and senator, vice president, later Vice President Al Gore, Susan Baker, she was the wife of the treasurer, James Baker, Pam Heller, and Sally Nevis. And they eventually grew to include actually 22 participants before shutting down in the mid to late 90s, because obviously this is ridiculousness. But I can talk about the hearing too, if you'd like.
Let's hear a little bit about the hearing, because I think some rockers came out and told their side of the story as well.
So in August 1985, 19 record companies agreed to actually put the parental guidance sticker on with the explicit lyrical content. Before the labels could be put into place, the Senate agreed to hold a hearing on so-called porn rock. The hearing was held on September 19th, 1985.
Wow, I'm changing the band name tomorrow. We're going to be called Porn Rock.
The representatives from the PMRC, three musicians, Dee Snider, Frank Zappa, and John Denver, Senators Paula Hawkins, Al Gore, and others testified before the Senate. The subject of content of certain sound recordings and suggestions. I can't read my own writing. It's actually typed.
Interesting, since it was typed, yeah.
Yeah. I can't read it all.
I just can't read my own
typing. And suggestions that recording packages be labeled to provide a warning label for purchasers of sexually explicit or other potentially offensive content. Basically, these men, especially Dee Snider, made these women look like morons. You can actually find videos on YouTube of the hearing and what each musician had to say. You'll definitely be entertained. Dee Snider provides an entire, like, very well thought out, intelligent reasoning why
I would, you know, I disagree with Dee Snider on some of his, a lot of his political views, but I would never argue with him. Because he is insanely intelligent, man. Right. I mean, like, I used to listen to his radio show. He had a radio show all about horror called Fangoria Radio.
What?
On Sirius. And it was, and man, like, he knew stuff. He was a smart dude.
With his song that is chosen for one of his 15, I'm just thinking maybe Tipper should check out his movie that he was in and maybe...
Yeah, and if she thought if she thought that was bad,
she should see Strange
Land. Was it called Strange Land?
Yeah, Strange Land was really bad. So go check that out as well. In the end, the sticker did happen, but it had an amazing boost in publicity and sales for the musicians. Basically, John Denver was the last to talk about all of this, and he was completely. And what he said, and I didn't write that down. Actually, you should probably go read about it. Made so much sense that even like Tipper was scratching her own head. But in the end, they won, and really, who won? Because their sales and.
Let me just say, for the record, putting a label on the album, putting a parental advisory, believe me, when you're 13, 14 years old, that just makes it all the more attractive. So they kind of, I think they kind of did a good thing for rock music in that sense that, when people see that, that's the version that they want, and they've also ended up creating a sort of... like an extra stream of income because these albums all have two versions and some people want to have two versions. So they just gave themselves more opportunities to be heard.
Walmart was one of the ones that is all about the sticker, obviously.
Yeah, and sometimes, and I've heard that too, there's certain like Walmart or Target or sometimes at different times won't carry this one or that. That is becoming way less of a, that has become way less of a thing in the digital age.
Yeah.
So I think that's just also, for parents that are concerned, about that, then, okay, that is there. I didn't see it. In other words, if we have films rated G, PG, PG, 13R, et cetera, NC-17, et cetera, putting a label on a record, I don't really see as a big deal. Personally, I think Zappa and those guys were really afraid of was that like this is like a gateway to being for people to be able to tell us what we can say and what we can say about, and that is a legitimate thing, and that's one of the things that is one of the founding principles of the country I'm from, which is the United States, is hey. I don't, Voltaire said, I may disagree, I'm going to paraphrase it, I might, even though I disagree with you, I will defend to the death your right to say what you have to say. And so if you've got to write a song about a girl in a hotel lobby, jerking off with a magazine, then that's what you got to say. Right, Lily?
Exactly.
So
what's cool is my parents never, ever, ever cared about that sticker. They let me listen to whatever I wanted to listen to, and they're not no
so
wiser.
Now, okay, now that we have given the sort of backstory, the preamble, let's get into the list. Where are we going to start?
The song that started the whole problem, because Tipper Gore listened to it while her daughter was listening to it, is Darling Nikki by Prince. On the album Purple Rain, and the offense is sex and masturbation. It was actually written from the point of view of a boy who was trying to humiliate his girlfriend who starts working for a rival, and it was the reference to a girl masturbating that was the cause of the outrage. The album went 13 times certified platinum and has sold over 25 million copies worldwide. The lyric in question is, I knew a girl named Nikki, I guess you could say she was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby masturbating with a magazine. I don't know. I don't think that's that bad. But I didn't also know what that was when I was a kid.
Well, that's so. Because you're a pervert.
I am not a pervert. I think that's a great song.
You think it's a great song?
I think it's a great song.
I don't know, though.
I like every song on this list, though.
I think it's...
Of course I do.
Just filth.
Lies.
Filth. Filth!
There's only one song on this entire list that I might be like, okay, maybe.
Yeah, I think I know which one you're going to talk about. But, so I'm going to just... So, that it wasn't even... A hit song.
No. It wasn't even one of the big ones on the album.
Although obviously it's a cool song. Yeah. I mean, Purple Rain, Purple Rain's one of those all killer, no filler albums, for sure. But
it was one of the background songs that nobody
wasn't
even
like,
noticed.
It was a kind of, kind of a, what do you call a B cut or B side or whatever.
Yeah.
And they brought all kind of attention to it. As that's what happens. Okay? So this is like, very often, The war on drugs created more drugs. The war on terror created more terror. The fastest way to get something to grow or become bigger is to start a war on it. So you're going to start a war on rock and roll. This is what's going to happen. And this was an out. I believe this movement was also an outgrowth of something that was going on in the 80s with televangelism being. You're probably a little too young to remember, but this was really, really huge. The big TV evangelists were all over the airwaves, and they were. They had become kind of like, if there was the internet back then, they would have been memes.
Okay.
They would have
I remember hearing about them, but I never actually saw any of them.
Jimmy Swagger, Jim Baker, Pat Robertson, those people, they would have had their faces up, you know, with funny sayings under them all over the internet had that been a thing. They were the topics of skits on Saturday Night Live, on Leno and, not Leno, excuse me, David Letterman and Johnny Carson would, you know, lampoon them and stuff like that. Billy Graham actually had appeared on Johnny Carson several times. So it was a popular pop culture thing, and it was very, had a hairy eyeball when it came to drinking, sex, drugs, even smoking cigarettes. And I think that these women were probably identified with that world. They were, claimed to be Christians or whatever. And this was all done in the name of protecting the children. And this should be a lesson to everybody. When somebody says we need to protect the children, be aware.
But at the same time, it's the 80s, and that is the time when music was all about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Like,
And if you want to say that maybe, no, rock survived, we just did this parental advisory, blah, 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 blah. But look what happened in the 90s. All the real rock and rollers, all the people singing about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, partying and everything, that all became passé. All of a sudden, rock became sensitive. And people were talking about sad and their feelings
sad
and
clowns.
Alienation and everything. Yeah. so maybe...
It put a little damper
maybe,
in there.
Maybe it did. Maybe it was part of it. So, so what's next on the list? Darling Nikki, number one.
Number two is Sugar Walls by Sheena Easton on the album Private Heaven. The offense is sex. The song was credited to Alexander Nevermind, who is Prince.
So Prince again. Twice in a row.
The single,
that filthy bastard.
Right. The single had everything to get ladies from the PMRC all riled up. Easton defended herself by saying, "We're not embarrassed to be sexy when we want to be. Art is about being free. The lyric in question is blood racing to private spots and spending the night inside my sugar walls," which is obviously referring to her lady parts. So... I guess it might be questionable, but I never caught on to it.
My lady, lovely lady lumps. My lumps.
So, yeah, another Prince offense.
Prince offense.
On the list.
The offensive Prince. I think that that was a hit. It wasn't.
It was
Sheena
popular,
Easton's
but it was
biggest
like,
hit.
No, oh my gosh!
Strut Pout put it out.
Yeah,
was
again.
Yeah, and then what was the other one? The one that she sang with Prince. You've Got the Look.
Yeah,
which is actually a Prince. That's on. That's not a Prince album. The title of which escapes me. I have it. I can't think of the top of my head. But yeah, so she was the woman. She was a singer who, when she first came out in the early 80s, was a very kind of sweet singer. She sang that...
she's a drummer, too.
My baby takes the morning train.
Right.
He works from 9
she
to
She met Prince
five.
And got sexual. What the hell?
Yeah, Prince, man. You know, he was a lady man.
He really was.
Short, but...
Man
talented
could,
and good looking, and
that guitar.
Can play great guitar, amazing, you know. Please say the next one is not by Prince.
It's not.
Okay.
It's actually "Eat Me Alive" by Judas Priest on the album "Defenders of the Faith." The offense is sex and violence, two things that go together well, right? Gore claims this song is advocated oral sex at gunpoint. KK Downing said,
"Well, sometimes you know, guys, right."
You got to do what you got to do.
I mean, who here hasn't been making out with a chick and they start pushing their shoulders down? I never did that. I'm just saying.
That happens all the time. KK Downing said, "We are a metal band. We didn't sing about daffodils and roses." After he came to his senses thinking maybe they went too far, they followed the hearing up in 1986 with a song called "Parental Guidance." The lyric in question is "Rod of Steel" and "Groan in the Pleasure Zone." catchy to me. Catchy. Just grown in the pleasure zone.
Grown in the pleasure zone.
I like that they had a comeback the next year for Tipper and her little mommy crew. So there you go. It's Judas Priest. Stop.
The Judas Priest has also, and I don't, was this after? They were involved in controversy regarding the guys that tried to commit suicide.
Yeah.
The one boy succeeded. The other boy lived for several years and then eventually succumbed to his wounds. And you know, they tried to blame Judas Priest and Ozzy Osbourne.
Judas Priest has always been behind controversy, though. Even with like when he came, Rob Halford came out of the closet and the whole thing. And I think that's just their thing. Let's just keep ourselves in the media.
You know, when I hear their songs, I just hear great rock and roll. Yeah. I never, because if this was really the kind of bad influence that, you know, that people were imagining that it was going to, this is proof to you that most of your problems out there world are in your mind. Because if this would have been like a serious problem, we'd had all kind of kids like, there's another woman, you know, forced to have oral sex at gunpoint. Oh, this Judas Priest song is taking over the world.
Yeah,
it would have been a whole thing. There would have been a whole thing. There was no whole thing. This was in somebody's imagination. So only thing I can say about this, guys, if there's something you don't like,
don't listen.
Change
to it.
The channel. You know, go to a different website.
There is Christian rock out there.
And there is Christian rock. Yeah, so you have a lot of options. But, hey, the Priest is the Priest.
Also, the Prince album is that you were talking about is Sign of the Times.
Sign of the Times, which is a great, great record. Let's get two more in before we play the next song.
All right, sweet. So number four is probably Prince-influenced. Strap on Robbie Baby by Vanity. Album Wild Animal, Offenses, Sex. The lyrics were written by her then-boyfriend, Robbie Bruce, and a few years later, she posed for Playboy, saying she was just putting it all out there. So, Ms. Gore had a field day with this one. It got a very 80s... It has a very 80s pop sound, and the video is super 80s. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's fun. The video's fun. The song's fun. The 80s were all about sex, like I said before, so it was the time. But the lyric in question is, if you want to glide down my hallway, it's open, strap yourself in and ride. I might use that line on a guy. I don't know.
On a guy.
A gentleman. I'm going to use that probably this weekend.
That's, this is really making me long for the days when people just, you know, rock was about relationships.
And love.
Because that's true love.
That is true
love. Slide down my hallway, are you kidding? I mean, I can't think of anything a woman could say to me other than that that would, you know, just make my heart melt.
Does your heart melt?
What's after Strap On, Robbie Baby?
Some of the kings of the 80s, Bastard by Motley Crue, album Shout at the Devil, Offenses, Violence, and Language. Obviously, they were going to end up on the naughty list somewhere. They're known for the sex and drugs and rock and roll in the 80s. This includes violent lyrics about stabbing someone to death. But when the sticker was placed on the cover, that only attracted more buyers to this album. Shout at the Devil, it's one of the highest selling albums of the time. The kids wanted it even more, and this band was climbing the charts already at the time. That just gave more of a boost. The lyric in question is, out goes the lights, in goes my knife, pull out his life, consider the bastard dead. That's a little violent.
Yeah, but do you know the song Jailbreak?
Yep.
By AC/DC.
I know that song.
I mean, that's like an even grittier song. It's a kind of about the same thing. Do you ever know that there's a song by Johnny Cash, maybe you heard of it, where he says, I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die?
Yeah. But it's, you know, Johnny Cash, so
hello.
They don't care.
Can you say double standard? There's always a double standard, guys. Be aware of that when you're traveling through the world. Let's play. I want to play this other. We have Suwaka coming up in a minute here, but last week we had a really interesting thing happen. We had this band that wanted to be on the show, and they were in England, and we got the times mixed up.
Easily done.
But Jim did join us for the after show, and it was really fun. So I wanted to play them. Now this is a band called Mrs. Beckett. That's the name of the band, Mrs. Beckett. The song's called Rome. We're going to come right back with some more Filthy 15 on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
So just let me explain. passive, passive and aggressive, with everything against my way. And no, it's not impressive, self-indulgent and possessive, but baby, keep the faith, you know Rome was a building today.
Rome on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. These guys just released this record. It's actually, I broke my rule, and they, because I only play you if you're on Spotify. But Jim was so cool, and it was so great to have him hang out with us.
He was super fun.
This has just not made it quite to Spotify yet, but you can get it on Bandcamp. You want to go to Mrs. Beckett. Mrs. Beckett.bandcamp.com, and you can get it there. And I want to thank you, Jim, as well, for the free download code that you sent me. The record's great, and I'm really loving it. Shout out to Bill Damiano, Beth Pertinell, and Dave Duchet. What's happening, Dave?
What's happening? Over on Rock Ridge Live, we've got Corey Dale, Chris, Thunderwolf Dotson and Raven, and John Rodriguez, and Chadwick Clay Pryor.
Wow, that's like a whole mouthful of language. What's his name again?
Chadwick. Chadwick Clay Pryor.
Boy, that sounds like a pretty
quite
like
the name.
Yeah, like you, dude. You should be like out with, you know, Biff. You know, out of the club. You know, teeing off. You know, in your. You know, I mean, that's
Chadwick.
Yeah. Oh, my name is Chadwick. Yeah. So anyways, the Filthy 15. A couple things. Shout out to Wolf's Customs, Chris Thunderwolf Thoughts, and I'm so glad you're watching, buddy. Wolf's Customs.online. Just quit screwing around and get a custom paint job on your guitar or your ukulele or your swinet or whatever it is that you like to play.
Your triangle.
Yeah, your triangle. Get it? Yeah, yeah. He's running a special on triangles this week. So hit him up at wolvescustoms.online. And shout out to Rock Rage Redidio. What I have not mentioned is how you can hang out with us, and that is at LouLombardiRocks.com. It's all kind of, you get access to all kind of free goodies and fun stuff and opportunities. We are, there's a guitar in the corner over here, brandy new, and maybe I'll whip it out at the end here, that is going to be given away to a lucky fan very soon. So we have a contest coming up for you to win a guitar. So we got a lot of good stuff in the works for you guys. So check it out at LouLombardiRocks.com. Now, back to the Filthy 15.
Number six. On the list is Let Me Put My Love Into You by AC/DC. Sounds like a love song.
They had to be on the list.
Back in Black. You're wearing AC/DC. Offense of Sex. By the time the song made the list, it was already 5 years old. Came out in 1980, so the PMRC was reaching for this one. The band claimed the attempt to censor them was satanic intolerance. And if you listen to 90% of AC/DC songs, maybe even 90%, 95%, they are all about sex. Let's be real. AC/DC talks about sex all the time. The band oozes sex and wanted to talk about it.
They like the screw.
I mean, it's a band. The lyric in question is, "Let me cut your cake with my knife." OMG.
Maybe it's her birthday.
Maybe.
Did you ever think of that? You know, Tipper, you have a very dirty mind.
Which is funny because Dee said that's if it's all coming out of her own mind, which she's coming up with. So speaking of
that. Well, see, this is the thing. When this is like many people who cry sexism or sexist or whatever like that, that's because that's what their head is. And I'm just going to say it. A lot of people cry race. That's because that's what they're seeing in their own fucking heads. So watch what's in your head. Are you going to be outed as some pervert?
I mean,
you know, I mean, maybe that's what he's saying. Maybe rockers have always loved to, I mean, lyricists, rock lyrics have always loved to play around with sexuality. I mean, that's been since the beginning
of time.
And it's because it is something that is relatable to every single person. We all have that in common. We all have sex in common. We all like to have sex. Okay, I understand. I know there's some monks and there's a handful of people out there that maybe you don't. I'm talking about, this is broadcasting, okay?
Kind of feel like monks,
so we're speaking
listening.
Broadly, okay? No, we're not talking to broads. We might be talking to a few broads, but I think my audience is overwhelmingly male. In any case, so, you know, it's just a thing we all do. And I understand you got kids. That's why, just, you know, I'm going to say something, and you have to tune into the after show to hear this. But I went to I went to tech school for a little while and there was a lot of like older guys, like steel mill guys, that were being like re-educated. It was Reagan had done this re-education thing. And some of these guys they were fathers, and they had some very interesting words of wisdom regarding this type of stuff.
Nice.
But I'm not going to say it on the regular podcast because we're getting into R-rated territory. So what do we got after AC/DC?
Well, speaking of Dee Snider, we have now We're Not Gonna Take It by Twisted Sister from the album Stay Hungry, and the offense is violence. Dee Snider himself was at the hearing and defended the song from allegations that it promoted violence. Snider said, "It strikes me that the PMRC may have confused our video presentation for this song with the meaning of the lyrics. It was simply meant to be a cartoon with human actors playing variations on the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote theme. Each stunt was selected from my personal collection of cartoons." So he's going, and cartoons are violent, you know. Well, they were. Now, if Gord would have seen the movie Strangeland, like I said earlier, she may have fainted. The song reached number 2 on the Billboard. There is no lyric that suggests violence that I could see in the entire song. I went through all the lyrics.
Maybe we're right. We'll fight. You'll see. You know what
I
mean?
But I just feel like
maybe
they're fighting for their right to party.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's the song is about... If those of you that have never seen the movie School of Rock, you need to watch it. Because Jack Black puts rock into... I mean, he just summarizes so perfectly. He says, rock is about sticking it to the man. And that's what the song is about. This is about, like, the man.
Yeah. It's not... I couldn't find a lyric to relate to, so... And I went through all the songs. Okay.
And the best way to stick it to the man is kind of, like, be smarter than him. It, whatever. And that's really...
In this case, the man's a woman.
Dee Snider. It's like... I'm telling you, man, I would not argue that, dude.
No, he's very...
You know, I'm like, okay.
He's got a lot to say anyway.
He's a smart dude. Very smart dude. Like I said, so what do we got? So who's after Twisted Sister?
Next on the list is Dress You Up by Madonna on the album Like a Virgin. The offense is sex. It was the 80s, and of course, this list would have to include the ever-sexual icon Madonna. The song happened to be composed by Andrea LaRusso and Peggy Stanzial, who were described as two Jersey housewives.
Gonna dress you up in my life, yeah. All over you. That's the song they're talking about.
Yep.
Why?
I don't know. I'll read the lyrics.
I remember just being like a silly pop song. Like,
it is a silly pop song, but I'll...
Don't get me wrong. I was a horny teenager, and maybe I had a couple of impure thoughts about Madonna, but this was not like a trigger song.
Was this
song.
Before she did the music awards where she was dressed up in the dress doing the thing on the stage? I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know.
Madonna herself said, "I'm sexy. How can I avoid it?" When the song came out, my little sister, mine, my own, was 3, and she was dancing around to all the Madonna songs. She didn't know the meaning behind them. She was just having fun dancing to a pop song. She didn't really care. Methinks Tipper probably just didn't get laid that often and was a little jelly of Madonna. So, the lyric jelly. In question is, "Gonna dress you up in my love all over your body." She's going to be on top of the guy. Oh my gosh, calm down. Because Tipper probably never did that. So, I guess.
Look, this isn't a political podcast. Rock and roll is all about freedom and being able to say what you want to say. And that's all I'm saying about it. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just saying that it's all about saying what you got to say, man. And if you can't do that, if you can't strap on a guitar, sit down at a keyboard or your computer even, and make music and say what you want to say, like, come on, man. Like, what's the freaking point? That's what it's all about. And rockers have always done this. We've always, you know, kind of pointed the finger at society, kind of try to sneak around, throw little innuendos out there to just, you know, see if we can sneak it past the adults. That's the fun of it. That's the fun of it. Relax.
It's freedom.
Smile. Have a drink. You'll live longer. What's after Madonna?
After Madonna happens to be Animal, Beep Like a Beast by Wasp. From the album Wasp, offense is sex, language, and violence. It was claimed that Blackie Lawless wrote this song after seeing a photograph of lions mating in a National Geographic magazine. Of course, the title alone gets them on the list for the PMRC, the band used to introduce the songs at the live shows. Well, this one is for Tipper Gore. So that's what they used to do at the beginning of the song. Unfortunately, after he became a born-again Christian, he stopped performing this song, and the lyric in question is it's the whole song. From the beginning to end, but most prominently,
F
the title, F like a beast,
F like a beast, F,
F bleep 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 like a beast. I mean, their whole show though was pretty crazy. You know, they'd have females on the stage chained up, throwing meat. He had a cod piece that had a saw on it. I mean, he was pretty out there. But I love Blackie, so I don't really care.
And he's a born again Christian now.
Yes,
so maybe in this case, Tipper Gore won.
I really don't think it was Tipper Gore that swayed him.
Wasp. I could see the temptation to want to put them, to bring this up. I mean, some of the songs, like, I could understand, like, maybe if I was a... I don't know. I'm just trying to see it from other people's perspectives. So just go with this for a second. Like, you're an 80s parent, right? Maybe you're a little conservative. You spent, you know, you're the church, very middle class, you know, kind of like middle of the road type situation. Your kid comes home with a record, F Like a Beast. You know what I mean? Like, I could see where they'd be, knee jerking, you know, you mean Mean Man? Is that the one you're thinking of? Oh, that's another one that they did. But
no, I mean on the list.
So I can understand if they, you know, they would see that. The F word at that time was still pretty taboo.
Yeah, like
mean, hear it on TV. You hear it in Star Trek. Okay, so like now it's like nothing. So it's very easy for, like I said, to kind of look back with kind of jaded eyes and go, "Oh, well, you guys are so crazy." But it was a thing. It was a thing. So this is taking us back to 1985. So what's? Let me see where we are. We're going to do one more, and then we're going to take a break.
Okay. Number 10 is High and Dry by Def Leppard. On the album High and Dry, the offense is drug and alcohol abuse. We can really all relate to this song, I think. It's a Saturday night, partying, sex, drugs. It's what rock and roll is about. And that's clearly conveyed in this song, but Def Leppard got a little slap on the wrist for the meaning behind the whole thing. They came back saying that they had no interest in people with closed minds. That was to Tipper. The lyric is, I got my whiskey, I got my wine, I got my woman, and this time the lights are going out. So, I mean, that's my weekends before the lockdown. That was my weekends, except for the woman part. I'm with men. Me, men. Sorry.
You listen to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Go to lulombardirocks.com for some interesting post-podcast interactions. This is a band that I actually got to work with last year called Suwaka. Dark Bright on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Waka, everybody. A great band. Had the honor of really playing with these guys last year. Suwakatribe.bandcamp.com. Check those guys out. Good hard rock and metal as well. This whole situation, guys, went down in 1985. So I thought that maybe we would just take a... Before we finish up the last 5 year, we might talk quickly about things that... goings on in 1985. Popular films at that time: Back to the Future, First Blood Part Two, Rambo, better known as Rambo, and Rocky IV. The Color Purple, Out of Africa, so two Africa-based sort of ideas there. Cocoon, Police Academy 2. Wow, yeah. Remember those terrible things? A View to a Kill, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, starring Tina Turner.
Yeah, I remember. That's a good movie.
Popular bands, artists at the time were Duran Duran, Simple Minds, Madonna, Bruce Springsteen, Dire Straits, The Cure, David Bowie, Phil Collins, and Simple Minds again. Somehow, Simple Minds is really popular. Yeah, they were on the list twice. the Food and Drug Administration approves a blood test for AIDS. Compact discs are introduced to American consumers in 1985. Wow. Also a first, and I did not realize this, the first .com domain name, Symbolics.com, is registered by the Symbolics Corporation. 1985. The internet was just like
it was a baby.
It was just like a thing on college campuses and like in industry. Science. And stuff like that. Yeah, it wasn't a... let's see here. Mafia boss Paul Castellano is shot on orders from John Gotti. There's a very famous photo of him, of that, you know, of his body on the sidewalk. Mm. It's pretty disturbing stuff. Let's see here. Boeing 747 Flight 123 crashes into Mount Osutaka in Japan. Insurance companies begin screening for AIDS for life insurance. Yeah, that was a big controversy. The Unabomber kills his first victim. Woo, go Unabomber. I'm sorry if you or somebody in your family was a victim of the Unabomber. I humbly apologize. President Reagan announced a strategic defense, SDI. Let's see, anything.
They found the Titanic.
Yeah. 500 hippie travelers clashed with police on June the 1st on their way to an ancient stone circle of Stonehenge. Ooh. Oh, Terry Anderson kidnapping. But anyways, if you guys want to have some fun with the past, go to thepeoplehistory.com and you can just put in any year and they have all kind of funky facts about things.
New Coke.
Yeah, New Coke debuted in 1985.
Nobody liked it.
The Live Aid concerts were held in July of that year. The cost of living in 1985. Let's see here.
Gosh.
Let me see. How much was a... let me see. Is there milk on the list or something like that? A gallon of gas was $1.88.
That seems high. Yep. I don't see milk on there.
Bacon per pound was $1.65. Average house price is $40,000. Oh, wow. Mm. Anyways, guys, so yeah, check it out. Oh, you know, so figure since we were talking about 1985, I would put this in time and space. Let's wrap up these last five here.
All right, number 11, Into the Coven, Merciful Fate, album Melissa, Offense, Occult. The PMRC went a different route other than sex and drugs on this one. This one claimed to have an unhealthy interest in the occult. First of all, what the hell does Tipper Gore know about the occult? Okay, whatever. But it was a musical horror story, the album. King Diamond said later, the whole thing is just pathetic. We thought they must be really bored to have time for this. How they saw those songs and said more about them than it did about us. Lyric is, come into my coven and become Lucifer's child. Okay, I get it with the lyric maybe, but it really was a rock musical.
Excuse me, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I just want to ask something. At this point, I believe the Omen, Rosemary's Baby, Burnt Offerings,
Exorcist,
all these movies had been out for a long time.
Yup.
Okay, that's all I'm going to say about it.
Okay.
What do you got next?
Next is Trashed by Black Sabbath, album Born Again, Offense, Drugs, and Alcohol Abuse. The song is actually about how Ian Gillan crashed drummer Bill Ward's car during an alcohol-fueled race around the grounds of the recording studio. The real purpose of the song was to be a warning against driving under the influence. The band said that the video was intentionally lewd, so it would go with the song. The lyric is, I drank a bottle of tequila, and I feel real good. I had the tape deck roaring, but on the 25th lap at the canal turn, I went off exploring. I knew I wouldn't make it. I wouldn't make it. The car just wouldn't make it. I was turning tires, burning. The ground was in my sky. Drunk English rockers. That's what they do.
It was like, you know, Ozzy's Suicide Solution. The song is a sort of like... saying suicide is not the solution.
It's a warning. It's a hell it was.
Yeah, this has been gotten wrong so many times by people. What's next?
Number 13, In My House, Mary Jane Girls, album Only For You, Offense of Sex. This is not that
In
big of a hit.
In My House.
Yeah. It was written and arranged by Rick James himself. The singer, JoJo McDuffie, said the song was making innuendo... I can't even say this word, innuendo tastefully with the so-called explicit lyrics. They wanted it to actually be on the radio, so that's why they didn't make it, like, completely...
In my blouse.
It's funky, it's catchy, the video isn't even that bad. There's some dancing ladies, fully clothed, laying in a bed, a couple of bubble bath scenes. Nothing shown, it's not that bad, but the lyric is, I'll satisfy your every need and every fantasy you think up.
Penned by Rick...
Rick James.
Rick... Cocaine's a hell of a drug, James. again, you know, like I said, hindsight, we can look back and laugh. But
it was cheesy.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of these songs. I think they're like, you really got to be... I think that T. Steiner was right to sort of like question, like, what are these? It's like, if they're like, it's like they're like bored housewives, like nothing to do. So they sit around and have like sex fantasies.
Al
you know?
Gave his wife a job. Yeah. Here, honey, here's a project.
Or that. But I was thinking more along the lines that, like, they just have nothing to do and they have perverted fantasies.
Right. I mean, that could be it, too.
So what do you got?
Number 14. Now, this is the one that I think might sort of be questionable. I still love the song. It's Possessed by Venom. Off the album Possessed, Offense of Cult, again. Another occult one that they chose to take to the hearing, released on April Fool's Day, 1985. The lyrics are definitely kind of on the grotesque side. This wasn't the worst of the songs that Kronos, the frontman of Venom, has written. The album was written in Sussex at a quaint little village, but I find it hysterical that this is on the same list as Prince and Madonna. It is the darkest on the list by far. The lyric is, I drink the vomit of the priests, make love with the dying whore. So it's a little, you know.
Well, you know, I guess if you got your, like, 12-year-old...
That might be a little,
singing that, you know what I mean? I guess
that might
maybe,
be questionable.
Then they might be concerned about that. I mean, again, putting it in context, these are people that are, you know, probably sheltered in their life, and they hear stuff like this, and they probably go, oh,
my God.
But I don't really think anybody was concerned about it. I think this is a made-up controversy, just sort of made up to you know, maybe just to give these ladies something to do. That's terrible. I'm sorry, it's sexist. Go ahead, what do you
got? And number 15, She Bought by Cyndi Lauper, off of album She's So Unusual, Offenses, Sex, and Masturbation. Cyndi Lauper, she landed herself on the list because of her innuendo-filled lyrics. The song was a catchy pop tune about doing yourself. Alert the media, people masturbate. Sex sells in any industry, especially music, so get over yourself. The video was the worst thing about the song. It was slightly dirty. If you watch it, she's in the car, clearly doing some things. Cyndi said with a smile that she brought shame to her family with this scandalous song. And the lyric is, I want to go south and get me some more. They say I better stop or I'll just go blind. And didn't they used to tell you when you were a kid, if you keep touching yourself, you're going to go blind. So she just wrote about it.
Well, can I do it? My question was, can I do it just until I need glasses?
Yes.
That's why I have
glasses. You're allowed.
That's why I wear glasses. So, yeah.
So I just really think, like you said, that they were bored and had nothing better to do. And it's just like, well, you just help music sales anyway. So thanks.
Yeah, guys, like, maybe it would be best if you just, like, went and got a life, you know.
It's probably why it's not a thing anymore. They disbanded in the 1990s.
Is there any, I was going to ask you, Lil, is there any, what's the word? What's the question I want to ask? Are there, like, if you had children, mm-hmm. is there anything, any media or other than out and out porn? Okay, like, let's you know,
okay, we're just gonna eliminate porn.
Yeah, just like, that's not, come on. I mean, that's like, duh. Is there any, like, out and out, you know, is there any, like, media or television thing or radio thing or whatever that you would say, no, you can't, I have to restrict that from
quite
you.
Honestly, if I had children, I would probably just let them listen to and watch what they wanted. If they had questions, I would certainly explain it. That's what my parents did with me, and that's what I would do with them. So,
I could understand that you may not want, say it this way. You might not want them to see some, like, extreme violent thing.
Here's,
you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? I think it would be kind of like if they were really little and they saw something really terrible.
Well, I,
like,
mean, there are age limits.
You know what
obviously.
I mean? Where, you know, you might want not. I can understand where, you know, they're not ready for it. They could jack with their heads.
Right.
Other than that,
Like rape scenes, that's a thing I have a thing with. So I probably would be like, why don't you cover your eyes for this part? You know, things like that. But again, there are age limits. Like maybe, okay, you're 14. You probably should know this stuff anyway. You go to high school. So, you know.
Yeah, and again, we live in a different era.
Yeah.
You know, and we have the internet now where, honestly, every kid, you know, I'm sorry. Yes, your daughter knows what a blowjob is. Sorry. She does.
Probably.
You know, it's just like, this is the era we live in, you know. And we knew a lot more than like our parents knew when we were everybody says that, right? You know what I mean? Kids today, they're so precocious. They know everything. And it's just, that's just how it is, man. You know, so, you know, try to
I would
to
never
relax.
Put restrictions on music, though, ever. I'd be like,
you wouldn't put restrictions
never.
On music? Okay.
I would never do that.
I can't see myself doing that either.
Like, listen to what you want.
I don't think I would do that either. I think that it's an important for folks that are younger that don't maybe just first encountering different ideas like sex or like violence or whatever, to have, if you have a good relationship where you can talk, you could like maybe start a conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To like kind of talk about deeper issues or whatever. I don't know. I don't have children. Lily does not have children. So essentially that last couple minutes was just us talking out our ass.
Right.
We know nothing. So, you know, if you're a parent, you need to lay down to, you know, knock them upside the head because they're listening to some Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, you're not.
You know
what?
That's your business. So our lips are sealed. You've been listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. You want to go to LouLombardiRocks.com for all kind of more Ludini goodness. And you could ask, if you want to know what Ludini goodness is, then you need to talk to Beth Pertineau or Bill Damiano or Billy Altman. These are all folks that are part of our community. Good dudes. Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. Again, shout out to Wolf Customs Online. Him and Raven are part of our community. It's a great group of folks. Man, I heard a band today. It was so good, and I cannot wait to get. I hit them up. I'm going to try to get them on the podcast. And it's because Mark Christian Jones posted them in the inner circle. I'd never heard them before. They're freaking great. I can't wait to play them for you guys. So hopefully that'll be coming up soon. So that's the kind of stuff you get. Keith did not join us tonight, and we're hoping that everything is okay. Don't want to worry the audience out there, but it's unusual for him not to be here. So Keith, brother, we missed you. We hope to talk to you soon. And Rock Rage Radio, we really do appreciate you guys carrying the program. And I promise that I will get it this week to you on time. Lily, what do you have to say?
Thursdays, listen to my show, Hot Licks with Lily Six on rockrageradio.com or download the free app. I have a bunch of interviews coming up. And also, I am going to go ahead and announce this a little prematurely, but there is going to be a show for my 200th episode of my show in November. Lou's actually playing one of the nights, and Suwaka, who he had on the show tonight. So there's going to be so many bands, vendors, food, all the things. So that is in November. Check on my Facebook page for the actual dates because I can't think of them right now.
Hey, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us. Yard of Blondes opened the show, yardofblondes.com. We listen to Mrs. Beckett. You want to go to mrsbeckett.bandcamp.com. And then, of course, as Lily was saying, suwakatribe.bandcamp.com. It was great hanging out with you guys. We'll catch you guys all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.